Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again, a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you shall not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father." Are we there yet? That is the mantra of the summer road trip from the back seat. The mantra from the front seat is, shut up. Go to sleep. Are we there yet? We're used to our kids saying that when we're on a long drive, right? How much further? Well, it's going to take a while. How long? A little while longer. Kind of like those words of Jesus, in a little while, right? Those of you I know that are going through graduation season right now are also thinking, are we there yet? You can't wait. You probably have senioritis. Maybe you've already written your final exams. You're done as far as you're concerned with this whole school thing and just ready to be free of it. And I can tell you, we have a number of teachers in our congregation who teach in the Douglas County Public Schools, and little secret, they're ready to be done too. Are we there yet? That also might be how you're feeling after 2 years of confirmation study, Thomas and Ava and Braden. 2 years might seem like a long time right now, but when you reflect back on this day and this time of your life years from now, you will realize it was just a little while. A little while. Are we there yet? Jesus' words to his disciples and to us in John chapter 16 are part of a larger teaching that he delivered that we call the farewell discourse. And these were Jesus' words from John 13 through 17 in the upper room on his way to the cross. And as such, we have often, our first instinct is often to interpret this idea of, in a little while you'll see me, in a little while you will not see me, and then in a little while you will see me again. It's very very natural, very tempting for us to think that Jesus is speaking of that brief amount of time, those three and a half days between his arrest and then his crucifixion, his burial, and his resurrection on the third day. And today is the fifth Sunday of Easter, right? So we might be thinking we're in Easter mode. We're not quite ready for Pentecost yet, even though we got red all splashed all over the place, and our reading talks of the Holy Spirit, we're still in Easter mode, and we're thinking that this is all about Jesus dying, being gone for a short while, and then coming back. And he talks about how you will have sorrow for a short time, and the world will rejoice. And the world certainly did rejoice when they had Jesus dead as a doornail shoved and stuffed into that tomb. But maybe we shouldn't be so certain that we know what Jesus is speaking of here, especially since the disciples did not. They experienced a great amount of confusion over his words about this little while and wondered what it could mean and why was he talking about going to the Father. And that phrase especially about Jesus going to the Father is the operative phrase upon which our whole understanding of this hinges. Because I believe that Jesus does not speak here of those events of Holy Week, but rather speaks of that period of time from his ascension until the time of his second coming at the last day. Now, we've already been waiting about 2,000 years, and some of you might be thinking, that's not a little while. But remember that with the Lord, 1,000 years are as a day, and a day is but as 1,000 years. And Jesus himself attests 3 times in the book of Revelation, "Behold, I am coming soon." Are we there yet? No. When will we get there? Soon. In a little while. Jesus here puts great emphasis on some events in his life that we tend to just pass right over when we're saying the creed. He rose again on the 3rd day. That's the big celebratory part. And then we say he ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Let's get on to the 3rd article and all the Holy Spirit stuff. You know, in a lot of us, our congregations don't even commemorate or mark the ascension very clearly anymore. Even, excuse me, when Jesus went to the Father at his ascension, it was 40 days after his resurrection and 10 days before Pentecost. And the reason why I want you to clue in on that phrase where he said, "I'm going to the Father," is because of what he said to Mary Magdalene outside of the tomb. Do you remember when Mary Magdalene recognized Jesus and said, "Rabboni, teacher," she tried to grab him. She tried to give him a hug or something, take his hand. And remember what he said? He said, "Don't cling to me. Don't touch me because I have not yet ascended to the Father." And here Jesus speaks of going to the Father. It's the language of ascension and return, not the language of dying, burial, and resurrection. And we need to realize that this giving of the Spirit is not some kind of aftermath or afterthought, rather, in the mind of God, but rather the ascension is part of the entire purpose for Jesus to send the Spirit. In fact, he says elsewhere in the farewell discourse, "It is to your advantage that I go away," which sounds really ridiculous to us. How can it be to our advantage that Jesus should go away, that he should be gone for a little while? Wouldn't you rather have him right here serving bread, washing feet, doing miracles, preaching instead of me? Absolutely. But Jesus says it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go, the helper, the counselor, the comforter, depending on your English translation, the paraclete, not the parakeet, the paraclete will not come. And so Jesus leaves us for a little while so the Spirit may come. The Spirit of truth, he calls him in our reading today. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit, we're told his purpose, his, not its, his purpose, masculine pronouns in our Greek New Testament here. The Holy Spirit is not transgender. The Holy Spirit is not an it. He is a he. And he, his job is to point us always to Jesus, to shine the spotlight on Jesus, to glorify Jesus. In chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus says, "When the helper comes, he will bear witness about me." The Spirit's entire purpose and job is to bring us to faith in Christ, to point at the cross and say, "Believe in Jesus. Follow Jesus. Believe in him." The Pentecostal churches of my upbringing, of course, want to put all the emphasis on the Spirit, but the Spirit is kind of like the shy guy in the Trinity. He doesn't want the spotlight on himself. He wants it beaming brightly on Jesus, pointing us to Christ, who died for our salvation, rose again to give us eternal life, ascended to the Father to send the Spirit, and is coming again to make all things new, as he declared in Revelation chapter 21. The Spirit's purpose is to prompt us, and on this day especially, to prompt you, Thomas and Ava and Braden, to declare that Jesus is Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul says that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, we hear, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe, and with the mouth you confess. And yet even your public confession of faith that you will give today is not your own doing. You're not saved by your own work. The Spirit is the one who at baptism put that faith in Jesus as Savior in your heart, and who has watered it and grown that through your years of hearing the scriptures in Sunday school and in family devotions, and yes, in confirmation class and in public worship and in singing the words of God in the hymns and in the Christian songs that you may listen to at home. And that confession, that faith in Christ has been put inside of you. You didn't put it there. You didn't make it grow. But God has been growing it that whole time. The Spirit has been stirring your heart and readying your mouth to give this bold confession of faith. And the third article of the Apostles' Creed, in our explanation of that in the Small Catechism, we say, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason, brains, or strength, it means strength of will, not strength of your muscles, as great as they are, but I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. I can't do it for myself. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Because as Jesus says, the Spirit of truth will guide you into all things. He will bear witness to me, Jesus says. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and make it known to you. Because the Holy Spirit is shining a spotlight on Jesus for you to believe and trust and follow him. Our colors of our pyramids today are red because it's the color I look the best in. Not really, actually, that would be blue. That's why Advent is spectacular. But red in the church calendar symbolizes two things. It symbolizes the fire of the Holy Spirit and also the blood of the martyrs. And so this red color here today is a reminder to you that this confession is dangerous. That the same Spirit that leads you to confess in Christ is also the Spirit who may lead you to your grave because of your confession. Many, many millions of our fellow brothers and sisters have died because they have contended for this confession. They have said that they will suffer all, rather even death, rather than to depart from this faith. and from the church of Jesus Christ. And so they have borne witness to Jesus and shone the spotlight on him with their blood. Because when Jesus calls a man or a woman, he calls them to come and die. To die to self, to die to the world, and if need be, to die with our breath and blood for the one who shed his blood for us. It's a very serious thing. And in this little while between the time of Christ's ascension and his return, the devil also has a little while. We're told in Revelation that the dragon is released for a little while, a short season. And it's in this season that he will try to destroy your faith and take away your life if you will not stop believing. And he is out for you. The devil already has the world. And as soon as you confess Christ, you put a big red target on your back. But you know what? The same Jesus who died for you and lives for you is the same Jesus who at that final return will chain that dragon, throw him into the pit of hell and the lake of fire forever, and will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servants." Jesus says, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will deny before my Father who is in heaven." So today you take your stand, you confess Christ, you throw your lot in with Jesus. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.